Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The MS IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. All right, Scott. So here we are, another day, another podcast. A colder. Everybody that's not in Florida is going to laugh at us. A colder morning in Florida.
It's like 60 degrees out there. It's horrible.
I know. I woke up and I was like, oh, it's 60. I can wear a hoodie. I can wear jeans.
Yeah, no, it's been really rough in the mornings. We've had to wear, like you said, like jumpers and actual pants on the way to the bus stop. I haven't worn swim trunks in the last 2 days.
Oh, life is rough in Florida.
Yeah. Fall is here.
How about your winter coat? Have you brought out your winter coat yet? Hats, mittens?
You know, I'm probably a good like solid week or two away from that. But thankfully, we're heading down to Orlando, so it might be a little bit warmer down there.
That's true. You and I are actually both headed down there. Are you headed down there before the two of us are?
No. Okay. We're all going down at the same time.
Yeah, we've got a conference coming up down in Orlando here beginning, middle of November. So you and I are both going to be doing some speaking at the Live 360 conference down there.
Yeah, so that's Visual Studio Live, Tech Mentor, SQL Mentor. It's a bunch of conferences in one place put on by the Redmond Mag crew, and it's all under that Live 360 banner. So you and I have a workshop, end of the week workshop, on setting up Office 365 from beginning to end. And then I think I have three or four individual sessions in there. I can't remember. I just turned in decks and I've already blacked out from what I turned in.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them in addition to our workshop. So any of you guys that want more than just a half hour of Office 365, you can come hear Scott and I talk about Office 365 for 8 hours on that Friday. And I'll even give you a discount code. Mine's better than Scott's, frankly, because I get a little bit of money from it and then Scott doesn't. I would tell you, there's no other reason than that. Mine's better. You can support the podcast. Sign up for the conference, support the podcast.
There you go. Yeah, so that's November 12th through the 17th down in sunny Orlando. I'm super looking forward to that.
So what else are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to our topic today?
I was going to say we digress. what do you want to talk about today, Ben?
What do I want to talk about or what are we going to talk about? That might be two different things.
That might be two very different things. So we had somebody reach out on Twitter and they said, hey, you have not talked about Yammer yet. So that was Nick Patel. So I believe he's with Slalom out of Chicago. And Yammer is kind of one of those things where I think we would tend to rant about it rather than talk about it. But you know what? Let's go ahead and do the penultimate intro to Yammer episode.
All right. And thanks, Nick. We appreciate it. We really do appreciate the feedback. It's always good to hear from people and hear what they want to talk about. So Yammer, there is a article out there that say hello to Yammer. So to say hello to Yammer, we're going to just kind of give the intro to there. It's a private social network that helps you connect to the right people, share information across teams, and organize around projects.
Huh, that sounds a lot like a lot of other Office 365 products.
I haven't even gotten 30 seconds in and you're already ranting. So yeah, it is a collaboration, communication, information sharing tool at a very high level. So let's kind of dive into a little more details. We can talk about where it integrates with Office 365, kind of where it overlaps. We might be able to come up with a couple use cases for it even. So we'll just start talking and kind of give a good overview of Yammer here.
You know, Yammer is interesting. It wasn't always part of Office 365. It used to be a standalone product owned by a company that wasn't Microsoft. Yammer was an acquisition for Microsoft. They've worked very diligently, albeit kind of slowly, because it's really hard to integrate new software into your data centers, over the last couple of years to integrate Yammer in and get it all moved over. So these days, Yammer is hosted out of Microsoft data centers. It has some compliance things going on still. So if anybody's familiar with the compliance framework for industry standards and regulations and the customer guidance that Microsoft provides on that, Yammer is a Category C compliant piece of software within Office 365. So it tends to sit alongside things like Intune, Bookings, Planner, even some of the components of Teams are Category C components today versus Category D components, which are FedRAMP compliant. And they have a couple of other things that go along with them, like Exchange Online and SharePoint Online. So it's kind of like almost, but not quite. You can also run into some interesting data sovereignty issues with Yammer. So it is, you know, I was trying to figure out going through the Trust Center, and I don't have any tenants in the EU. So it's really hard to figure out if it's like EU model clause compliant and what's going on there. But there is a data center map for Office 365. And what you can do is you can go to o365datacentermap.azurewebsites.net, pick your region. So you say, hey, I'm in North America, or I'm in the UK, or I'm in EMEA, you know, whatever it happens to be. And it'll actually show you where data centers are kind of geographically centered, and then services that are hosted out of those data centers. So you'll see when you go through things like APAC and the UK and the rest of Europe, that Yammer is called out. Yammer and Azure Active Directory actually are both called out as hosted in the US. So there's kind of some interesting things that happen along the way there. You know, like I said, Yammer used to be a standalone product. It was kind of off on the side. Just based on that description and say hello to Yammer, you would, you know, if you've done SharePoint Online or other Office 365 workloads, or you'd ever heard about this groups thing, you would say, hey, that sounds pretty similar to a bunch of other stuff that's already out there. And it turns out that Microsoft's been working on integrating that infrastructure as well. So Yammer groups used to be standalone constructs. I think it was either early this year or late last year, they started the rollout or conversion of existing Yammer groups over to Office 365 groups, really getting them into that modern group infrastructure and being able to turn something like a Yammer group into a quasi-Outlook group, so it gets a proper shared inbox and things like that behind it. That's been a little bit weird too, but hey, what do I know? You know, I'm just a guy who has to kind of set this stuff up and move it along. Microsoft does have an excellent guide for Yammer administration. So that's in the form of the wonderfully titled Yammer Admin Guide. And that walks you through everything from setting up your network, how to manage users in Yammer. Really, that's just Office 365 identity. Monitoring your Yammer data. Not much you can do there. Additional Yammer features, not much you can do there. The security FAQ might be worth everybody kind of taking a look at, especially with external networks and some of the functionality that comes into play with some of that stuff. It just sits out there now as a complementary workload, so it manifests in a tile like everything else does, and it's just kind of waiting for everybody to go and use it, right?
Yeah, so now that everybody's all excited about it, based on your riveting and very exciting description of all of that, it's kind of even goofy how you get started with it. Because kind of like you said, it used to be a standalone product. It used to have standalone licenses. They are retiring that out, and it's kind of based on where you got it from. So there's one link here that we'll link to in the show notes that talks about the Yammer Enterprise standalone plan. And based on if you participated in like EA versus MPSA versus open, direct, CSP syndications, how long you can use this retired plan varies. So if you were on it, you could renew any of those retired plans once they were announced up until, most of them were December of last year. One of them went until June. So if you're listening to this now, it's too late to renew them. But if you renewed them, most of them you can use until December 31, end of December of this year, that you can actually still be on some of those standalone plans. One of them, EA, goes until December 31 of 2019. So you got like two more years you could be on that standalone plan. CSP syndications, June 30 of 2018. So another 9 months or so. So it really varies. There may still actually be some people on those Yammer Enterprise plans that keep using it. But now if you want to stand up a new one, if you go to the Yammer site and click sign up for free, it actually takes you to Yammer. So while Yammer is now fully part of Office 365, and the only way to license it is through Office 365, you can still sign up for Yammer using whatever email address you want to. So you're not signing up for a 365 trial the way you would license it. You're essentially signing up for this free Yammer tenant that's outside of Office 365, although I just tried it. It looks like it still forces you to use an Office 365 email address when you sign up for it. And then once you sign up for it, once you are into Yammer, if you want to upgrade it, instead of actually like licensing it and just having it, you actually have to go through a Yammer activation where you go through, type in your email address, it looks at what type of Office 365 plans you have, and then based on your type of Office 365 plans, it activates the appropriate features in Yammer based on those Office 365 plans. And within that, it has, are you eligible for Yammer Enterprise? You can actually go through and pick like the 365 Enterprise plans, business plans, education, SharePoint Online plus Yammer Enterprise. And it'll list out what plans in each of those plan types include that Yammer Enterprise license. So it's kind of a little bit goofy, even in the way you license it, sign up for it, figure out if you have Yammer Enterprise, and get going on it.
Yeah. Well, really, they've made some efforts and kind of strive to integrate Yammer into the Office 365 infrastructure. And that brings things like core identity workloads into play, right? So kind of pinning identity into Azure Active Directory. So Yammer, being that it had its own identity store for a while, and it was just kind of federating through, and Microsoft was handling some of that magic juice for a while. Yammer even had its own DIR sync engine for a while. It was kind of chugging along. So Microsoft has made the flip, and really they want you to be enforcing Office 365 identities within your Yammer networks. So tooling like Yammer DIR sync has been deprecated, right? That's been gone for about a year now. Everybody should be over to the new model if they're an Office 365 subscriber. And I wouldn't even tell anybody to sign up for it in a standalone plan. You know, come in through the Office 365 door, and then it's just another entitlement within a SKU pack for you to go ahead and light up. Much easier than kind of going down that convoluted path of starting in Yammer, especially as like a net new today, and then having to figure out how to integrate back into Office 365 workloads from there.
Yeah. So, and there is some integration there too between Office 365 and Yammer when it comes to groups, at least. Do you want to talk about some of that integration, how you enable that, turn that on?
There was a conversion process that went through, like I said, I think it was late last year, early this year, where they converted existing Yammer groups over to Office 365 groups. So they were all created in that modern group infrastructure, pinned over, given a mailbox with an email address, SharePoint site to back it, a OneNote notebook, all those kinds of things. So if you come through today, and you go into things like the SharePoint homepage and you create a new SharePoint site, it's going to ask you if you want to create a group associated with that. So that's going to create a modern group, but it's going to have an Outlook group behind it. You can pin it to a Microsoft team, do all that good kind of stuff. And then, you know, it doesn't create a Yammer group though. So you've got access to a shared inbox through Outlook, that shared calendar, all those kinds of things. Or you can go into Yammer and you can create a new Yammer group, which also creates a new modern group or an Office 365 group. It just creates it, and then it doesn't give you things like access to the shared inbox, but it still provisions an email address, provisions a SharePoint site, provisions a OneNote notebook, and it also provisions the Yammer infrastructure behind it for like Yammer files and Yammer notes, much to my chagrin. It's really kind of strange. If you were an organization that used Yammer prior to that conversion, you know, you would have seen a whole crap ton of new email addresses show up in your gal because, hey, Office 365 groups or Outlook groups show up in your gal by default, right? Unless you've gone back and you change those as they provision out. So there's some potentially weird things that happen there. That means all your Yammer groups actually have two email addresses now. They have the yammer.com email address that's associated with the group, and then they'll have the internal, you know, whatever your group's domain is, if you pinned it to a custom domain, or if you're using, you know, whatever your default or you're on Microsoft.com, namespace, things like that. So it gets a little bit weird in there for managing that. There's no automated conversion for things like, hey, moving your Yammer files over into SharePoint or moving your Yammer notes over into a OneNote notebook or anything like that.
Yeah, and if you do want to turn that on, though, too, it's not even necessarily that you have to have the Office 365 groups in Yammer connected, because there are still some specific requirements around that. One thing in your security settings in Yammer, you have to actually have that checkbox on to enforce Office 365 identities.
But let's be clear, like everybody should be enforcing that at this point. If you're not in a standalone plan, you really don't have any reason not to do that because all the other tooling is dead. It's deprecated. There's no Yammer dir sync. There's nothing else. So you're not doing yourself any favors if you haven't enforced consistent identity across all your Office 365 workloads.
Yeah, absolutely. However, like we said, there are still those standalone plans that may exist for another couple of years. I know, like, my network was actually, my Yammer network was actually created before all this integration. And if your Yammer network was created before all this was tied together, that won't just turn on or get checked. That's something you have to actually manually go in and set if you want to enforce that Office 365 identity across your Yammer network. And then you actually enable those Yammer connected groups. So not only do you have to enforce the Office 365 identity, but then you have to enable that connection to them. Again, it's kind of interesting. And like you said, there's some stuff with files or notes. Before we dive into that and some of my rants about that one that you kind of hinted at, let's go take a word from BitWizards. We'd like to thank BitWizards for sponsoring the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro podcast. They've won Florida Trend Magazine's Best Companies to Work For 8 years running and have been a Microsoft Gold partner since 2001. Nobody loves Azure like BitWizards. BitWizards is looking for talented, like-minded IT pros with a knack for Azure. If you're listening to this podcast, you'd likely be a great fit at BitWizards. Just think, you could be listening to Scott and me on the beach. Go to bitwizards.com/cloudsmith right now to apply. We're back. Again, a big thanks to BitWizards, their continued sponsorship of the show. It's been great to have them on board. If anybody else is interested in sponsoring, we're always looking for additional sponsors too. So feel free to reach out to us if it's something you're interested in. But back to our topic at hand, Yammer, files, notes. You kind of referenced this, but I wanted to make sure we called it out because it's something you really have to be aware of if you are going to use Yammer, in that you mentioned no migration path, no automated process to move files and notes from Yammer into SharePoint. If you have these connected groups, you'll actually see in that group links to those Office 365 group resources. Like you mentioned, the SharePoint document library, the SharePoint site, OneNote planner. But also at the top in your Yammer group, you'll have those traditional tabs for files and for notes. You can go into this Yammer group. You can create new files. There's a few different ways you could create new files, no, different notes. It's a little deceptive in that it still pops up Office Online. So if you create a new Word file, a new Excel file, PowerPoint, whatever, it brings up the Office Online app just like it would if you were creating a file in SharePoint Online. However, once you create that file, save it, it doesn't go to that SharePoint site or that shared document library that's connected in the Office 365 group. It lives out there in files. Same thing with notes. If you go to create a new note, there's nothing to actually say create a new note in the OneNote notebook that's linked to in the group or that's associated with the group in the Office 365 group. These all stay in Yammer. So now you have an Office 365 group, you have a Yammer group, you have files that can be stored in both, you have notes that can be stored in both. It's really a disjointed connection there. I don't get it. I'm sure there's a lot more work going on under the covers than what is apparent to us. It also may have to do with some of these people that are still on standalone Yammer plans that aren't guaranteed to have a group. So I'm sure there's some work that has to go into that. But now I have files for one group in two different places, notes in two different places. If they're in Yammer, going back to some of the compliance stuff, none of that DLP stuff, none of the IRM stuff, none of that data management, the metadata, any of that applies to Yammer. So people can be storing files and notes outside of SharePoint, and I don't have that same control out of them when it comes to a data management perspective if I have that Yammer group?
Yeah, there's not much operational control or governance in place there. So Yammer retention has always been a sore point, I think, particularly if you're an enterprise and you have some regulatory or compliance concerns, or heck, even if, like you said, you just want to kind of have any semblance of governance in your environment. So Yammer retention effectively boils down to a setting where you can say, how are things deleted out of my network? So are they hard or soft deletes, right? So if it's hard delete, it goes away, and that means I can't pull it out in an export later. If it's a soft delete, it's pretty much just masked from the UI, but it's still available on the back end to pull out. There's nothing in there to say, hey, here's a data storage limit for a Yammer group based on the files in it, right? Yammer is pretty much like, for Yammer files and Yammer notes, forget about the SharePoint stuff for a second, it's effectively unlimited, right? It has some different limits and constraints than SharePoint does. So because it sits in a different place and it's all different infrastructure, like you said, there's no metadata associated with it. There's no such thing as dispositions, workflow against it, and anything like that without some third-party tooling, right? Nothing in Yammer. That also means there's no legal holds for Yammer data. So you can't do any type of automated retention in there as well. So again, it just applies to Yammer notes and Yammer files, not the stuff that's in SharePoint, because that would all be DLP compliant and Office 365 retention and all that good kind of stuff. So Yammer was always a really, really sore spot. So if you think about being an organization where maybe you have an electronic records retention policy, right? And it says, hey, for anything electronic in our environment, it can only be around a maximum of 5 years or 1 year. You pick some period of time. You know, there would be no way to actually purge that out of Yammer unless you went and purchased a tool or wrote your own, which is kind of crazy if you think about it, because Yammer is pegged as an enterprise social network, and it's not very enterprise-y in some of the tooling that supports it and surrounds it for being able to manage it and run it day to day.
Yeah, I agree. And so there is one, I would call it one strength of Yammer. One thing I do like about it that I would love, I'm not going to say I would love, I would...
Except you just did.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to go like bleep that out or something. It's like a four-letter word when we talk about Yammer. The conversations in Yammer, to me, are interesting. I can see a place for these if they could get a little bit better hold on it from some of that compliance standpoint and pull out some of the files and notes. So you talk about these conversations and people are like, well, what about Microsoft Teams? And what about Skype for Business? Well, we kind of saw the story of Skype for Business and Teams, so they're going to come together. But right now, Teams, they increased the limit. So you can have, I think, 2,500 people in a team now instead of the previous 999. But you get some of these big companies, we'll just take Microsoft for example, where they want to have kind of a central place. Think of a Facebook for Microsoft, where employees could go in and post stuff, could just ask questions and want to be able to reach out to the entire company or be able to reach out to that wide range of people without spamming them with an email to that all users email address. Or again, it's a company that's so big that they couldn't have a central team. Those Yammer conversations could be really good for that. So you just go throw out a question of, hey, who knows about this? Or I'm struggling with this, or I'm looking for somebody to help me with this. And people can go in and look at it as they need to, as they want to, give responses, give feedback. So I think from tying Yammer back into the rest of the Office 365 workloads, that's probably one piece that's missing that doesn't feel like as much of an overlap to me as that large kind of social conversation type feature where it can be, again, a ton of people that just want to be able to talk about stuff and post stuff. If they could tie that in, make that a little bit closer with Office 365 and get rid of some of those overlaps, I can see that filling a gap in those current workloads that are available right now, kind of in that, I don't know if you'd call it the original suite, but that suite of Office 365 products that aren't Yammer.
Yeah. When to use what is always an interesting conversation with Office 365. And I find it to be very interesting with things like Yammer, right? Because of all that tooling overlap between SharePoint, Teams, Skype for Business. And don't forget about email too, right? Like Outlook, like we still have traditional distros like IT All and HR All and All Company and all those kinds of things. One of the vendors out there, one of the ISVs, AvePoint, they actually put together a great infographic for this. So Microsoft had a lot of trouble with, I think, messaging around kind of where these tools fit in. And AvePoint put together this really cool infographic. So it kind of walks you through a couple of factors to maybe help you determine where a message should go. So factor one being audience, right? Like you said, is my audience a large audience? Is it small? Is it really anybody? So one of the things that happens with Yammer for like those All Company things, if I actually need it to hit All Company, well, I can't be guaranteed that everybody in my company has actually signed into Yammer or visits it. So maybe I really do need to send an email in that case, right? And do like a company-wide email blast. So based on that audience and where they sit, you're going to need to know that. So Yammer is really good for those large audience conversations, right? So maybe I have that quick question or I want to hop into a public group about a project, an initiative, something like that, and see what happens. So once you've got your audience, factor two is tone, right? So I can have a formal tone, I can be informal, or I can be really like any tone across there. So if you think about formal, so in the form of like professional and objective tone in your message, Yammer, SharePoint, Outlook, they're all great for that. Teams and Skype for Business and OneDrive, because they're a little bit more personal. They tend to be a little bit more informal, right? Conversational across. And then, you know, after that, you've got to say, hey, what's the speed? Because it's not just how quick I want to get out there. It's maybe how quick I want to get a response as well. So you get tooling like Microsoft Teams, which is built under like high velocity chat. So that'd be very high tempo, right? Fast, quick responses coming back to me. Something in like my OneDrive or Outlook or SharePoint, that's going to be a little bit slower, right? Like low tempo. And then Yammer bridges that gap between the two because I can go out there and have that conversation. And it can be really fast. It can be really slow. It can kind of be like, you know, Goldilocks. It can be just right, you know, with the temperature on the porridge sitting in the middle. And I think that's a great way to kind of look at it and put it together in your head. The problem with this is I can go and look at this infographic and say, yeah, that makes sense. And you could go do that and say, that makes sense. If we give that to a random information worker and we say, hey, here's all the tools available to you in Office 365 that we've licensed you for. Here's how you're going to make a decision based on where your message should go. Nobody's going to remember any of this crap.
Yeah.
So they're going to just keep using email or they're going to keep using Skype or they're going to use SharePoint if that's what they're comfortable with. You know, that's probably the biggest problem with all of this stuff and all of this overlap is no matter how much you want to drive people into new tools, it's really a people problem, right? It's people and process because technology is technology in this case. But you're going to have to do a lot of like human change management, organizational change management, and things like that to drive new behaviors and train people for where you want them to go. And then you're going to have to make the decision of, do I want to invest a lot of time in training people on Yammer when Teams and Skype are about to come together in this great new world or SharePoint's coming up in this way with, you know, its integrations with OneDrive and Teams sites and Hub sites and all the things that come into play there. I think it's really a question everybody has to ask and kind of do a deep introspective look at.
Absolutely. So I think that about wraps us up. We hit everything, pretty much everything. We probably missed something, but we're coming up on our time. So I think we'll call that a wrap for today. And again, if you guys have any other topics you want to hear about, feel free to hit us up on Twitter, shoot us an email. We always love hearing from people and hearing what you guys want to hear about. Again, Scott and I can talk about pretty much anything we want to, but yeah, let us know. Let us know what topics you guys want us to talk about in some future episodes.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
Yep. Thanks, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.